Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Before we get into our topic this morning, I wanted to let you know that the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ will be hosting a long weekend series of Bible lessons, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that. The theme is, What Shall I Do with Jesus? Taken from the question that Pilate asks when Jesus is before him, What shall I do with Jesus? And it is a great question because we all have to face Jesus one day in the judgment day. What we do with him now will determine what he will do with us in the judgment day. And so we hope that you would come. We have a visiting minister from Florence, Alabama. Brother Frank Ritchie will be coming and delivering these series of lessons beginning on Thursday night and running through Sunday. Thursday night at 7 p.m. And by the way, this is September the 20th through the 23rd, September 20th through the 23rd. Thursday night at 7 p.m., What Shall I Do with Jesus? Friday night at 7 p.m., Accept Jesus as My Shepherd. Saturday at 7 p.m., Recognize His Greatness and Holiness. Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Live My Life for Jesus. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Give Heed to the Last Sermon of Jesus. And Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Teach the Gospel of Jesus to Others. A great series of lessons, weekend series of lessons, surrounding the greatest one who ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ. And so we would invite you to come, and we hope that you'll be a part of that. If you would like more information on that, give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Or visit us at our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? We've been studying the past 2 weeks a study of denominationalism, its curse, cause, character, and cure. And this is along those same lines, but a little bit different in asking the particular question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? We've been talking about some characteristics of denominations, and somebody listening on the program might say, well, the Church of Christ is just a denomination like all of them. There's really no difference. And so I thought we would answer that question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? And we've been studying the problems of denominationalism. We have studied that all the different churches that claim to follow Christ, that is actually contrary to the prayer of Christ for unity. It's contrary to the plea of Christ that Paul had for unity. It's contrary to the plan that Christ offers in the gospel for unity. Ultimately, it is not the good that men claim it to be. And so we need to stay away from denominationalism. And this morning, we want to answer that question. In the Lord's church, those who want to be a New Testament church, a Church of Christ today, can we be a denomination? And the answer is certainly yes, we can. We don't want to be. We don't want to simply exist as another denomination. We want to be undenominational. There are many churches to choose from today, and religious division is widespread. And there are all kinds of different denominations that you can be a part of. And some people believe that all the different churches actually make up the Church of Christ. And that is not true. That is not found in the New Testament. There were no denominations in the New Testament that made up the Church of Christ. The church belonging to Christ in the New Testament had a singular identification that is different from churches today. Some say the Church of Christ is just another denomination. They say that Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ in the 1800s. His early followers were called Campbellites, and they became known later as Churches of Christ. Well, that's actually not right. Alexander Campbell did not start anything that we do today. We don't do anything at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ that was started by Alexander Campbell. He certainly was a religious person and taught a lot of things. He came out of a denomination himself. He sought to be a New Testament Christian. But the Church of Christ does not go back to Alexander Campbell. The Church of Christ today, Christians, go all the way back to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, around 33 A.D. And so the Church of Christ is not just another denomination as many think of it today. However, I will say this, that there are members of Churches of Christ, if they're not careful, they can certainly become a denomination. And they can think, well, I'm a member of a Church of Christ, just like somebody else is a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Mormon or a Lutheran or a Jehovah's Witness. I'm Church of Christ. I think it's the best denomination to be a part of. And they can view their life that way, but that would not be biblical. And so we want to answer this question from the New Testament. Before we answer this question, I simply wanted to make an observation that it is possible simply to be a New Testament Christian without being a member of any denomination today. And the way I know that is the parable, the well-known parable of the sower that Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there. Jesus teaches the parable of the sower and how someone going out, and it was he at first and then his apostles and others after him sowing the seed of God's word. A sower, today we use tractors and planters to sow the seed in Montgomery County and surrounding counties. In the first century, a man would have a bag of seed and he would throw that over his shoulder and he would put his hand into the bag and grab some seed and toss it out on the ground. And he was the sower and he's planting seed, and that seed fell on different kinds of soils. The soil might be good or bad. It might be packed down. It might be where the seed fell on the ground and the birds came and ate it. But a sower is going out sowing seed, and Jesus uses that illustration of himself and then those who would follow him to sow the seed of God's word into the hearts of men. And this parable teaches us one very important principle, and that is that when the seed, the word of God, is planted today, it simply makes a Christian, nothing else. When you plant a tomato seed, what you get is a tomato, nothing else. When you plant a corn seed, what you get is corn, nothing else. When you plant a bean seed, that's all you get is a bean. When you plant any seed, any type of vegetable or fruit that is grown by first seeds, that's all you're going to get is whatever that seed is that you put into the soil. And the same is true with God's word. And so in Luke chapter 8, and verses 4 through 8, he explains about this sower who is sowing seeds on different kinds of soil. And then he explains it to his disciples in verse 9, what is this parable? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And then he goes on to talk about how that word of God is sown on four different hearts. And when it is sown on the good and honest heart, it brings forth fruit. Well, what fruit would it bring forth? What does the Word of God, the New Testament Word of God, what does it bring forth? It brought forth Christians only. When the seed was planted, beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon and the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2, and the people there, some 3,000, repented and were baptized. They received that word, verse 41. They became Christians, nothing else. There were no denominations to become a part of. And that same seed, when it is planted today on a person's heart, will simply make a Christian. And that's hard for many people to believe or accept. They're so used to denominationalism. They're so used to all these different churches that it's hard for someone to fathom that a person can actually just simply obey the gospel, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, and just simply become a Christian without being a member of any denomination. And then when they join themselves with other Christians of like mind, then they can form a local church belonging to Christ. And that is possible. And just like seeds that are very old, even though you plant them today, many years later, they produce the same thing. There have been people that have found corn seed and wheat seed in the pyramids. And that those seeds are thousands of years old. And yet, when they're planted even today, the corn seed produces a corn stalk, the wheat produces wheat, and that seed is still powerful to produce what it does even thousands of years later. And we're some 2,000 years removed from Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermon, the first Christians, and yet some 2,000 years later, when you plant that seed, you're still going to get a New Testament Christian. And so this morning, we need to understand at the very beginning that the principle is still valid, that the seed is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. The question is, do we have a good and honest heart to receive that seed? And when we do, we can be a simple New Testament Christian. So this morning, let's answer the question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? Just by way of reminder, we've been studying this over the past 2 weeks, that the word denomination refers simply to that which is divided by name. Someone or something that is divided and distinct from someone or something else by its name. And we talk about denominations of money, the $1 bill, the $5 bill, the $10 bill, the $20 bill, and so forth. Each bill has a different increment. It's a different denomination of money. Well, the same is true with religious bodies. And these religious bodies today are divided and they're distinct by their name and other qualities. This morning, we want to look at four distinct characteristics that make a denomination. And there are other characteristics that we could look at, but we want to focus on four. And we want to answer the question, do these four characteristics exist today in churches of Christ? Like I said earlier, it can, and I believe does. I believe there are some groups described as churches of Christ that are just as denominational as anybody else. But we here at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, and I know of some other local churches of Christ that do not match these characteristics of denominationalism. We are undenominational. And so let's look at these four characteristics and apply them to a local Church of Christ today and see if it matches up. And these four characteristics that we want to look at are the date of origin. When did this particular denomination start? Number two, the name of the denomination, often a man-made name. Number three, the doctrine and creed of the denomination that is separate from the New Testament. And number four, the organization of that particular denomination. So we're going to look at those four characteristics and we're going to see if a Church of Christ matches those characteristics today. Now, before we do that, I wanted to make note, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the New Testament, all we find are local churches belonging to Christ. Sometimes they're described as churches of God, churches of Christ, Romans 16, verse 16. Other descriptions, church of the firstborn ones, different descriptions. There was no one singular description, but they were all churches that Jesus built through the preaching of his apostles. There were no denominations. However, after the first century, and you begin to see this showing up, men began to teach different religious things, which eventually formed the man-made denominations. No, they did not exist in the first century, but yes, they cropped up afterward, and so we have hundreds of them today. And what I wanted to point out, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul actually prophesies of this. He predicts this, and he says the Spirit announces ahead of time that this is going to happen. And so even in the first century, there was the warning that some would fall away from the faith, and this is what is going to cause later these man-made denominations. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times not at that time, not when Paul was writing to Timothy, but later. So this is going to be after the first century. We're going to see some of this happening. In latter times, some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. So somebody is going to come along later. He mentions two things that they will do, forbidding to marry and abstain from meat. But in verses 1 and 2, there's going to be a falling away from the faith. There is going to be people who leave the New Testament pattern of the New Testament church. And so I wanted to mention that that was actually predicted and prophesied and told ahead of time. And then if you look in just church history, history outside the New Testament, you'll see various apostasies and falling away and people commanding things that are not in the New Testament. And so we find in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Those are two things. Men are going to be able to, are going to begin to teach things and make that as a forbidding, or you must do this or not do that. And they're going to add to or take from or change the New Testament. And then we begin to see the formation of various religious groups. So this morning, let's look at this very matter. First of all, the date of a particular denomination. If it does not go all the way back to the New Testament, then it is a man-made denomination. For example, you will find that the Catholic Church, the first pope, Boniface III, was placed as a pope in A.D. 606. The Catholic and Eastern Orthodox denominations originated around A.D. 600 to 1200 A.D. Some of what we call the seeds of Catholicism, the beginnings of Catholicism, can be traced back earlier than that, but the official first pope, Boniface III, was proclaimed that in 606 A.D., and you can't have a Catholic church without a pope. And so that is the formal beginning of the Catholic Church, even though you have some, what we might say, seeds of Catholicism, the beginning of it, going back a few centuries earlier. And then there was a split between the Catholic Church around 1150 A.D., called the Great Schism or the Great Division, the Great Split, and that's where you have the official division between the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. So somewhere along 600 A.D. to 1200 A.D., many Protestant denominations originated in Europe in 1500 and 1600 A.D. Our Baptist friends and Lutherans and Presbyterians start in that time in Europe. John Smith forming the Baptist Church, Martin Luther forming the Lutheran Church, John Calvin forming the Presbyterian Church. Many of these people were former Catholics, and they did not want to be a part of the Catholic Church anymore, so they were a part of what was called the Protestant, protesting the Catholics, the Protestant Reformation. They protested Catholic beliefs and doctrines and practices, and they wanted to reform Protestant Catholic beliefs and practices and so forth, and so it was called the Protestant Reformation. And this is in Europe, different places in Europe, Switzerland, Germany, England, places like this, we have the formation of Protestant denominations. The Church of England would be another one at the same time, which is also known as the Episcopalian or Anglican Church. So their date would be around 1500 to 1600 A.D. And then you have people, the pilgrims coming over to America in the 1600s. You have many people following them. And you have the formation of the United States, the early American colonies. And so people who are a part of European Protestant denominations, they already are religious when they come over. Different denominational religions are present when people come to the United States in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. Once they get over here, then those European denominations, they exist in this country. Many European denominations sent their ministers over here. And so before too long, there were Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Church of England and Catholics over here on this soil. Well, after a little while, after being over here, some of them came out of those denominations and formed other denominations that actually started on American soil during the 1700s and 1800s AD. The Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Science. These are all denominations that are being formed in the 1800s on American soil by various individuals. So, here's the point. The first characteristic is that of date. Churches of Christ, we want to go all the way back to AD 33 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That was not American denominations or Protestant denominations or Catholic and Eastern Orthodox denominations. It was just simply New Testament Christians. We want to go all the way back and be just like they were in the New Testament. A second characteristic is a denominational name. Denominations have names given to them by men. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Adventist. These names, any name other than Jesus Christ, divides. We simply want to be a Christian. At the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we don't call ourselves by any denominational names. We are just simply Christians, just like they were called in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Local churches were called churches of Christ in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. And so we need to follow just simply the name of Christ. That's what honors Christ. Denominational names, the problem is, it focuses on a man. The Lord, not man, built his church, Matthew 16, verse 18. The Lord, not man, died for his church, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Lord, not man, created the church and planned it from all eternity, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. And it's the Lord's word, the seed, not man, that produces a Christian. Do you remember in Acts chapter 11, verse 8, the seed is the word of God? Acts chapter 8, excuse me, in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And when it's planted in your heart and my heart today, friends, all it makes is a Christian, Acts 11 and verse 26. So we don't want to be a part of any religious group that does not go all the way back to the New Testament. We don't want to be a part of any group that has a name that honors man or something that man came up with rather than Jesus Christ. And then number three, a third characteristic of a denomination is its doctrine that it teaches in addition to the New Testament. Denominational churches today teach doctrines of men that are recorded in creeds and manuals and disciplines and catechisms and confessions, different statements of belief. There are denominational plans of salvation, denominational works, denominational worship, denominational institutions and beliefs. We don't want to be a part of any of that. Not because we are prejudiced or mean or ugly or we just want to separate in order to be different. We want to be the Christian that Christ said that he would build. Man-made creeds are often more than the New Testament or less than the New Testament or something different from the New Testament. But the Church of Christ and the one that I am a part of, I can't speak for all churches of Christ. In fact, some of them have denominational characteristics, but I can just simply speak for the one that I'm a member of. And there are others in this area who are doing the same thing. That churches of Christ, we appeal to the New Testament doctrine only. We worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. We teach only what the Apostle Paul taught. He taught the commandments of Christ, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. whatever we do in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17, and that's following the New Testament. We do not go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9. And so we don't have any creeds or manuals or disciplines or catechisms or confessions or any kind of denominational statements of belief. We read and carry and follow our New Testament, and we study that, and we want to put that into practice in our life. And then last of all, a fourth characteristic of a denomination is denominational organization. Many denominations have a hierarchy structure. There's some kind of a headquarters. There's some type of a man or a woman at the very top that runs that particular denomination. And denominations are larger than local churches that we find in the New Testament. And they are smaller than the whole church that we find in the New Testament. So often they will have synods and conventions and a diocese and a board and a headquarters and some sort of a hierarchy. That organization never existed in the New Testament. In the New Testament, each local church had elders and deacons and saints and ministers, and that's all that we have today. There was never any tying together of various local churches of Christ with any structure larger than the New Testament, than the local church. Friends, is the Church of Christ a denomination? No, because its date of origin is not in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 21st century. It goes all the way back to the 1st century. No, because its name is not after man. No, because it does not teach doctrines of men. No, because it does not have a man-made organization. We at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ are not a denomination. We don't have those characteristics that make a denomination a denomination. Remember, what divides churches from other churches? When they got started, the names that they bear, the doctrines that they teach, and the man-made organizations that they have. That's what makes them distinct from other denominations. We don't want to be a part of any of that or have any of that. Friends, the Lord is not pleased with modern-day denominationalism because it's divisive. It goes against His prayer in John 17, 20 and 21. It goes against the preaching that Paul made in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. The Church of Christ in the New Testament has nothing in common with modern-day denominations. There are a few things that you can see that are similar, but there are many vast differences because it's simply undenominational. Now, churches of Christ today can, and I believe have become, denominational. They do have these characteristics, if you will, but that's not what we're trying to be a part of at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Come be with us. Leave man-made denominationalism and simply be a member, a Christian, of a Church of Christ that was built by Christ long ago. And that's what glorifies God. Ephesians 3:21, you bring glory to God if you'll be a member of His church. And if you'll simply be a Christian, 1 Peter 4:16, that's how you glorify God. We're thankful for your time and attention this morning. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll join us again next week. We hope that you'll have a good day, and thank you for tuning in.